Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Listen, you hear this guy talking baseball, waxing poetically. He's one of my favorite color analysts when it comes to the game of baseball. But don't be fooled. I had a long conversation with Ben McDonald back in August on a road trip about LSU football. He is a diehard fan. Those LSU bloodlines run thick. He's joining us right now, courtesy of the Window Nation Guest Hotline. What's going on, Ben?
Good morning, Rob. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well, man. Listen, I thought about you, Lane Kiffin to Baton Rouge. Now, the rest of the nation has a lot of bad things to say about Lane Kiffin because of how it went down. What's the temperature in Louisiana with this hire?
Well, I mean, look, the LSU people are obviously happy, right? They got their guy. They got the guy that they wanted in Lane Kiffin, and arguably – you know, Rob, it's a crazy year. I mean, I can't remember the last time so many coaches got fired in college football during the season. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, the Florida job, the LSU job, the Penn State job, the Auburn job, you can go on and on. So many big-time programs, fired their coaches in the middle of the season. So Lane Kiffin became the hot commodity, the top free agent, if you will, out there. And you get it because of the success that he has had at Ole Miss. And I mean, you look at his last 3 years at Ole Miss, 11-2, 10-3, and 11-1 this year, and their best season ever in the history of the program this year under Lane Kiffin. So you get why he's the hottest commodity out there right now. And look, Florida warned him. Auburn was calling. My understanding was there was a couple of NFL teams that were calling Lane Kiffin, but at the end of the day, he chose LSU. And I think overall people are excited to have Lane Kiffin in Baton Rouge.
All right. I'm going to ask you this, though. Like, isn't this a kid? He's done this so many times, though, Kiffin. Different universities. Like, would you marry a woman? Say you meet a woman, you get into a relationship. She's married to somebody else. She's cheating on her husband.
That slut.
She leaves him and marries. Why would you think she's not going to do that again?
Depends on how hot she is.
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin's
is that
hot.
The case? Is that what it is?
Lane Kiffin's hot.
Like, wouldn't you think, like, hey, that's how I met her?
Well, LSU's just a place you settle down, right?
I don't know.
I think, you would think so. You would hope so. And look, Lane Kiffin's got a history. I'm not going to defend his history at all. I mean, you can go way back to, you know, when he was with the Oakland Raiders for a couple of years, and he went to Tennessee for 1 year, went to USC for three, and he jumps over as the assistant coach at Alabama, wins a national title with Saban there, you know, then takes on Florida Atlantic, if I remember correctly, and really turned Florida Atlantic around, and then ends up at Ole Miss. And he was at Ole Miss for, what, 5 or 6 years. So he does hop around. But I do think when Lane Kiffin looked at it at the end of the day, and look, I got a lot of buddies over at Ole Miss. I respect that program over there big time. It's a big-time program. Lane Kiffin has turned it around. They've been really solid in baseball as well. But at the end of the day, I think when Lane Kiffin, everybody said, well, why Baton Rouge? And the way I look at it is LSU overall is arguably one of the top jobs in the entire country with some of the top resources that are out there. And LSU, if you look at Lane Kiffin's resume, his resume says, okay, how can I one day be in the College Football Hall of Fame? I've had a lot of success in places that I have been, but I need a national title. A national title will cement my legacy, maybe two of them. What program gives him the best opportunity to do that? I think at the end of the day, LSU does with its resources that it has, you know. And who knows how long Lane Kiffin's going to be there. He may fall in love with Baton Rouge, and I think that's what the LSU folks are hoping for, and that he's very successful like Nick Saban was over. And if you look at LSU, look, guys, three of the last four coaches at LSU have won a national title. You talk about Nick Saban, you talk about Les Miles, Brian Kelly obviously got fired this year, you know. But LSU has had a lot of success in football in recent years. You look at the fan base, and again, I think the most important thing, I don't know if I believe Lane Kiffin's press conference when he said, I don't know how much money I'm making. I don't know if I buy that part of it because it was everywhere on social media.
I know how much money he's making.
Yeah, we all know. And I think he knew too, but the money was the same, guys. I mean, talking to the Ole Miss folks, they offered the same exact money. Florida did too, but at the end of the day, Lane Kiffin wanted LSU. But I think where LSU separated itself was with the NIL program and some resources maybe that Ole Miss couldn't do and maybe that Florida couldn't do. My understanding is LSU promising $25 million in NIL funding every year, you know. And so that could have been the swinger, and that's what Lane Kiffin wanted. We know that, you know, he crushes the portal every year he has at Ole Miss. I think he's been top four in the portal the last 3 years at Ole Miss. He's never really great when it comes to freshman incoming classes, but LSU provides that because of the state of Louisiana, the talent that is here, and he'll have a real shot to win. So the ball's in his court, as we say. It's up to Lane Kiffin now. I think the LSU folks will be patient with Lane Kiffin the first year or two, but after that, you're going to be expected to win and be in the playoffs and win a national championship. And I'm going to tell you what, folks, these guys down here, guys, they don't care. These folks don't care. They will fire you in a heartbeat. We saw the governor get involved, which I hated to see. I mean, it was typical Louisiana politics. It got really ugly around here. The governor got involved. The board of supervisors got involved. We fired, you know, Brian Kelly, owed him $53 million. And here's the thing, guys, that nobody's talking about. Scott Woodward, who I know very well, Baton Rouge guy, grew up here, went to LSU, went to high school here in Baton Rouge. He was our athletic director. He got fired as well. We owe him $7 million buyout on him. And all he did, guys, was win six national titles at LSU in 5 years, and yet he gets let go. Now, you tell me another athletic director that's won six national titles in 5 years that gets fired, and the answer to that is none. Nobody's even done that that's still working. And so that's how crazy people are down here about their sports. They expect more, and Woodward got fired because of the contract with Brian Kelly, clearly.
Hey, and Ben, I'm glad you brought up the governor, because that's where I was going, saying we can't sign another contract bad like this Brian Kelly one with all this buyout. $80 million in buyout? Okay, that's fine. I think the Lane Kiffin thing works out for LSU, but the scary part for me is that I feel like he holds all the cards. Because like if he wants to do something, he's going to do it, and if LSU doesn't like it, they're going to have to deal with it or fire him and give him his money.
Yeah, look, I mean, the super agent out there, we know Scott Boras is the super agent, you know, in baseball, but Richie Sexton is the super agent when it comes to coaches, and he holds the magic wand. He represents a lot of these coaches, you know, out there. And LSU talked a big game about, oh, we're going to change the mold. We're going to break the mold. You know, we can't do this stuff anymore. But yet at the end of the day, they end up doing it anyway, you know, to get their guy, because that's where we are right now, you know. And look, it's a flawed system, guys. And I'm not blaming – everybody's mad at Lane Kiffin. I'm not mad at Lane Kiffin. Even if he would have left LSU like Saban left LSU many years ago to go coach the NFL, which was a big blow to LSU, you know, at the time. Because who knows, Saban could have won another two or three titles at LSU. He, in my opinion, he would have if he'd have stayed and not went to the Dolphins, but instead he wanted to go coach in the NFL. But I'm not mad at Lane Kiffin. I'm mad at the system that's out there right now. And in my opinion, we got to change. There is no way that – you should be able to talk to coaches, talk to agents during the middle of a football season, especially, you know, a coach getting ready to try to win a national championship, and all of a sudden he leaves a program to go to another. This shouldn't happen, you know. You feel bad for the fan base of Ole Miss. You feel bad for everybody out there. But the rules have to be changed in this, man, where you cannot talk to coaches until after everything is over. You cannot negotiate. You cannot take a coach away from – and look, it was Ole Miss that decided – and that's a whole other piece of this, as you guys know. They didn't want Lane Kiffin around. Ole Miss didn't want him around to coach in the national championship or the playoffs, I should say, because they were worried that he would talk to players, recruit players and coaches to come to LSU. But yet they backtracked, and now the offensive coordinator who left Ole Miss to go to LSU has signed a 3-year contract at LSU now under Kiffin, is now they're allowing, Ole Miss is allowing him to go back and coach in the playoffs at Ole Miss. So it's, you know, it's kind of a weird deal where they said, no, we don't want anybody doing that, but yet we'll take the offensive coordinator back just for the playoff run. Then he can go back to LSU at the end. So it's some backtracking by Ole Miss. And if I was Ole Miss, I would say, listen, I get it. I understand it. But this is the best season we've ever had in program history. We want Lane Kiffin to coach our program because we never know when we're going to get back to this point again. And I would like to see an Ole Miss say, okay, Lane, we want you to come coach. I get it. They're upset about it. They don't want him around. But at the end of the day, you don't get many opportunities to win a national championship, and Ole Miss is going to have that opportunity without Lane Kiffin.
They've never won one.
Ben McDonald joins us. No, we can't let him out of here without baseball, right?
No, at least a little baseball question. O's have been kind of busy. I mean, I think for all the bitching fans do, they'll never be happy, obviously. However, what do you think of the moves made? Taylor Ward, you know, comes here, get a right-hand power bat. Ryan Helsley from the Mets, but with the Cardinals, he pitched really well. What do you think of these moves?
Well, I think Mike Elias is beginning to check a lot of boxes that he needed to check, you know, when the season ended last year. And I look, I'm pleased with it so far. Now, look, you can make a case with Taylor Ward, and the big thing about that was Grayson Rodriguez. And we all love Grayson Rodriguez. We know what his potential is, but we also know the injuries have held him back. And it's very rare that you see a big-time potential pitcher that has 4 years of club control traded away for a guy that only has 1 year of club control. So that was a little bit of a shocker to me. Having said that, I think it's an Orioles decision that they looked at Grayson Rodriguez and said, we just don't think he is going to be the guy that we hoped he would be when we drafted him when he came up through the minor league system. We think injuries are probably going to continue to hold him back a little bit. And so they made a move. And look, it's hard to argue. Taylor Ward, look, guys, I know the batting average wasn't great last year, but 36 home runs. He gets on base a lot. Yes, he does strike out, but he walks a lot too. I think the Orioles needed a big right-handed bat in the outfield, and that box was checked. And then we knew that Felix Bautista obviously was not going to be back, you know, anytime soon in the 2026 season. I think there is hope he's back later in the season, but we don't know that. So you needed a back-end guy. Helsley provides that. I mean, clearly, you know, led the league in saves, and nationally 49 saves, what, in 2024? And that last year was not a great year for him when he went over to the Mets. We know that, but relievers can be up and down, back and forth. But this is a real back-end guy, a guy that's performed well, a guy that's been a two-time All-Star that has elite stuff back there. And so I think you can check that box. And so I'm pretty happy where the Orioles are right now. Now, there's a lot to do, in my opinion. You still need a couple of bullpen arms, in my opinion. And you still need big-time starting pitching. You need a real dude that you could fit in towards the top of the rotation. And for me, a back-end rotation piece as well to give you some depth as well. So there's still some things to do, but the winter meetings aren't even here yet. They're close, but I like where the Orioles are right now.
There he is, Ben McDonald. Ben, thanks a lot, my friend.
Anytime, guys, and thanks, go man. Tigers.
There you go.
I
know we went way over, but that's Ben McDonald, man. 410-583-1057 is the number. Sarah Ellison will join us at 8:30, but on the other side, Andrew's extension, what does it mean for Likely?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now.
Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Next on The Fan. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Look, Ken and Owings Mills has been waiting patiently for like a half hour. Ken, what's up, man?
What's up, man? How you doing, fellas? I told y'all this one quickly. I know shovels are coming up, but I wanted to give you guys at the show a reverse shovel, if that's even a thing.
that's a bucket of gratitude, yes.
For being a bastion of just non-PC correctness. Because I know what the encore of the day is going to be. Hold on to my pocket and come with me. The softest hands ever. Thank you guys for keeping us laughing and not being worried about the correctness of everything out here. It's always a pleasure listening to the show. So
appreciate that, Ken.
You just became a promo. We're going to use that one.
Yeah.
And by the way, I am quite certain I have the softest hand. That's not even a joke. Like, these are the softest hands around. And if anybody wants to touch them.
Nope.
Do you guys want to touch it?
I have already.
All right. You want to touch it, Rob?
Nope.
Come on, Rob. Touch it. I'm just trying to leave Joe a bunch of sound.
Like, I don't like you when you're wording that.
I'm uncomfortable. I'm trying to leave Joe.
Damn what Ken said. I want you to you go correct this right now. Don't tell me to touch it.
This won't be corrected in post. It's going to be safe saying exactly what I said to you. Rob, would you like to touch it?
So there's this thing going back and forth on Twitter now from my appearance yesterday on the radio station in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And naturally, fans of both sides are talking about their team and how bad they are. And someone's talking about the Ravens' early exits in the playoffs and putting it on Harbaugh. And this guy's John Gets Jolly says, honestly, that's more of a Lamar thing. When they had Flacco, the Ravens consistently went deep into the playoffs. Yeah, when Flacco had Suggs and Reed and Ray and Anquan, but when those guys left, not so much. So let's look at the whole that's the thing that gets me with the Flacco fans. You make it seem like he carried you to this. He had four great weeks. I give it to him. That was a great football team.
Yeah, I mean, he lost in the first round. He's lost in the second round. He's lost in the AFC Championship. That was a great team. We said for years with the defense they had there, you're wasting this with Kyle Bowler. Then you find Flacco, who's really good. And again, the postseason. I was going over this with the same thing on a Pittsburgh station yesterday. And I said, that Ravens team that won the Super Bowl in 2012, and you can get upset about this if you want, that might be the worst team that's won a Super Bowl in the past 20 years, past 30 years, when you actually think about what they were doing in the regular season and then what happened in the postseason. Yeah. I mean, 11 touchdowns, zero picks is just incredible. Only one other person's done that, and Rob?
Joe Montana.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. So like, looking at what he's done, he also has a win in the playoffs where he threw for 60 yards. Like, how many people can say that?
You're talking about New England?
Yes.
The Hey Diddle Diddle?
That
was Ray Rice. It wasn't the Hey Diddle. Ray Rice had a long touchdown.
And Terrell Suggs had a strip sack for a touchdown to start the game off. They were up 14-0.
Yeah.
So, like, again, I understand, like, the thought process, and like, Joe Flacco did well in the postseason. That team did well in the postseason.
Yes.
Well, and that's, thank you for saying that, because it's not Lamar, it's not Joe, it's a team sport. And, you know, Rob, you bring up the fact they had Hall of Famers. Yes, they did. It's like, but the fact remains, they went to the playoffs a lot more often. They did, because it was a better team.
Yes.
That's all it is. I mean, you can't blame Lamar. I mean, it's just, people forget this is the ultimate team sport.
But that's my only thing about that post. That's a Lamar thing. No, it's not.
Yeah.
It is not. It's a Lamar thing that, yeah, he got hurt and they couldn't get to the playoffs. Okay, all right. It's a Lamar thing that he got hurt when they were in the playoffs and they lost on, a 98-yard touchdown return to the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah. Okay, those are Lamar things. That's fine. But come on.
He wasn't even in that game.
That was her point. Yeah. let's tell the whole story. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Giannis is starting to stir some things up in Milwaukee. How will that end? We'll talk about that at 8:45. But on the other side, we'll keep it with the Ravens. Sarah Ellison joins us up next on The Fan. Joining us right now, courtesy of the Window Nation Guest Hotline, she is Sarah Ellison. What's going on, Sarah?
How's it going, fellas?
Doing well. Don't worry. So I'm following on X last night, and I saw your post about the Ravens being fully healthy going into the Steelers game. In your words, how significant is that at this time of the year?
I mean, I'm sitting there watching how the Steelers are not healthy. T.J. Watt missed his practice. So did Aaron Rodgers. And so when you go into a physical battle like this, and of course there's a caveat that they had perfect attendance of the 53-man roster. There's guys on IR, of course, that don't count. But in December, heading into an AFC North battle after you just finished an AFC North battle against the Bengals, that's significant news. And I think the two most significant for the here and now is that Nate Wiggins was out there. I did not expect that. I thought it was maybe a more serious injury than, you know, being back on a Wednesday. And then Lamar Jackson hasn't been able to practice on a Wednesday for about a month. And missing out on that practice time combined with his injury has obviously impacted his play. So having a healthy Wiggins, having a healthy Lamar, and a mostly, you know, healthy team at the 53-man roster, I mean, you can't ask for much better heading into Steelers week.
And we didn't talk about our Darius Washington return. He may play in week 14. You know, not quite sure, but he's returned to practice. How big a deal is that?
Well, that one that really surprised me. Like when John Harbaugh was asked, is our Darius Washington return, and obviously Tavius Robinson, they're just in that 21-day practice window. But then John Harbaugh was asked if either one could potentially play, and he said it was our Darius, not Tavius. And I was like, are you sure you don't have that reversed? But he was asked again and said, yeah, no, it's our Darius. He said, he went on to say it's not like a high probability that he will, but I think it's just good to have those pieces in their back pocket, especially Tavius. I believe he was leading the snap count at the outside linebacker group when he was injured. Not the biggest sack getter, but an edge setter, sound tackler. The Ravens definitely need that. With our Darius, that's just going to provide, if he can return, more flexibility in the back and in the secondary. I mean, who knows? There's always little injuries here and there. He's a dog, as we all like to say. And I'm just impressed that he was able to rehab so quickly to be back and try to put himself in the mix.
Well, after seeing what we saw the Bills do to the Steelers last week, we are going to see a heavy dose of Derrick Henry this week, right? They ran the ball 50-some times against the Steelers, and it's like, if it ain't broke, you don't need to fix it. Go back and do the same thing the Bills just did.
I wish I could answer that with confidence. Like, yes, yes, that's what I would like to see. That's what we'd all like to see. I don't know. I will say this. I think this time around, I do have a little bit more confidence. I mean, Todd Monken has a pattern of abandoning the run, including with Derrick Henry. He's done it before, but he usually does it when they're going up against other high-powered offenses like the Bengals or, you know, like the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. I feel like Todd Monken is a little bit more patient when he's going against opponents who have offenses that don't typically score much more than 20, and that is the Steelers. So hopefully he doesn't panic and abandon the run. I'd like to see a healthy dose of Derrick and obviously keep Mitchell off of that. And I'm sure they're going to try to sell out to stop it, but they don't have their rookie standout defensive tackle and Derrick Harmon. He's injured. And so, you know, we'll see if we see a little bit more of Emory Jones. Maybe they can get some stuff up the gut on the left-hand side with Derrick. That's what I'm hoping for. When they have Derrick Harmon down, that's a major opportunity that I don't want to see Todd Monken, you know, go away from.
Sarah Ellison joins us, co-host of the Vault podcast. Sarah, what are we seeing with this Ravens team right now? They're 6-6. Is it injuries? Is it a lack of execution, bad coaching? I mean, there's so many questions that we have for this team that we did not expect to be 6-6 at this point.
Yeah, I think it's all of the above. I mean, the fact that they can't play complementary football, they have yet to do that when the offense was playing well in the beginning of the year before Lamar's injury. And then finally the defense stepped up after, you know, those significant trades. And so, I mean, I think it's all of the above. I think that it would be unfair to not, you know, talk about the injuries. I mean, before Lamar went down, he was leading the league and touchdown passes and quarterback rating and just, you know, and I went back and looked at some of the highlights of the Bills game. He was running around looking like Lamar Jackson, and it just hasn't been there. And so there's offensive line issues, which is, you know, one of the reasons why Lamar's injured in the first place. and then just not being able to play complimentary football. I think there's some coaching issues. I definitely think that the offense has gotten a little bit stale and predictable, and maybe, again, that's because they can't fully use Lamar Jackson or haven't been able to in the last couple weeks, and they don't have an offensive line that's able to get much push. But, listen, I've said this on my show. I do believe, because there's such a trickle-down effect with the way that Lamar Jackson masks other issues on this team, including the offensive line, and then if the offense can get going, they're not putting the defense in such a bad place. It opens things up for Todd Monken. I do think that if Lamar gets more healthy, he continues to be able to practice, you know, the entire week, not just, you know, Thursday and Friday, especially since Fridays are mostly walkthroughs. I do think if he gets healthy, things could turn around very quickly, very quickly. It's just a matter of if he can get healthy and stay that way. And I do think the other significant piece is if Emory Jones can progress, you know, at a reasonable rate, because both guard positions have been so bad that even like average play would be a welcome sight. And I think that Lamar and Derrick Henry could do a lot with that. So I know the Ravens are still holding out hope that as they get healthy, which they are, things can turn around, but they have to prove it once they get out on the field, because we haven't seen it yet this year where they've put together on all three phases a full 60 minutes of good Ravens football.
Sarah, do you think this is a year where it's basically like, just get in and let's see what happens? Because there's nobody that's just dominating, or, and we always throw around there's nobody you fear, but realistically, it's not fear. I think, like, looking now at this situation, if they're able to get in and seeing that it's more than likely that Buffalo is the team that comes here, could make this a crazy run. But again, it's just get in, right?
I mean, I guess that's what it is every year, but, you know, I've been on record this entire season that, to me, it is kind of Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl or bust. That's the way it's been since 2019.
Yep.
I wasn't a fan when the Ravens and John Harbaugh were, like, kind of rejecting that idea, and I'm like, no, it should be that way every year. That's my personal view. And so I don't think that winning the AFC North, which I still think is a strong possibility, given, to your point, the field isn't that scary. I don't think that winning the AFC North and then going one and done is going to make anybody happy in this fan base. And I don't think that it should, you know, save anybody's jobs, whether you're a player or coach. But to your point, like, getting in is like the biggest piece. And so what a turnaround it could be. As you said, if it's the Bills, I think statistically speaking and analytically speaking, that's the most likely matchup, the Ravens versus Bills. And if the Ravens got the Bills back in M&T Bank Stadium and was able to win a wild card game against them, then it's like all of a sudden things do feel a lot better. And maybe who knows what the next one could be. So in some ways, yes, you're right. Just get in. But I think in December they have to show that they're capable of doing more than just getting in. Because right now they're really, if they do get in, it's just because the field is so bad.
There she is, Sarah Ellison from The Vault. Sarah, how can folks find you on social media and find The Vault?
The Vault is on YouTube every day at noon live. It also gets put up on anywhere you listen to podcasts. I'm at SG Ellison, and I'm shocked I got no questions about Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely. I'll say that.
Well, I mean, you know what's funny is I feel like we've talked about it so much today.
Yeah, we've had like three segments on it. I think I agree with
you. You guys have covered it. You got it covered.
Are you shocked by it, though?
I think the timing I was surprised by, for sure. Yeah. But the Ravens had to get one of the two, Isaiah or Mark. And based off of, you know, Jeff Zrebeck of The Athletic's reporting, they try to get Isaiah. And so Isaiah, you know, they couldn't come to a deal. I'm assuming he wanted to bet on himself and then he got injured. So I feel bad for him. But the Ravens needed to keep one of the two. And it sounds like they could make a deal with Mark and not Isaiah.
There you go. Hey, Sarah, thanks a lot.
All right, guys, have a good day.
You thanks, too, 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Shovels at 9:15, but on the other side, Giannis, he's out with an injury for a couple of weeks, but when will he, or if he ever will return to the Milwaukee Bucks? Jeremy Carr's going to weigh in on that up next on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Jeremy.
Yeah.
We discovered that the Knicks tried to make a move for Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks during the summer. That move fell through. They were asking for too much. Were the Bucks. Now it looks like Giannis, who's going to be out for a couple of weeks with an injury, is discussing his future with the Bucks. Maybe on the move. I think you could start getting trading guys after the 15th of this month because of the contractual situations.
You know what this is going to start to feel like?
What's that?
It's going to start to feel like the same thing we had with Russell Wilson, even though Giannis is a way more likable guy. He wants everybody to love him. He's the same guy that said he was going to retire Milwaukee, always wanted to be there, bring a championship, which he did. And then now he's tired of how things went. You were part of the reason to bring Damian Lillard in. It blew up in your face because of injuries. Mm-hmm. And look, he's just an older player that wasn't a good defensive player. So now you had some other holes that to fill. The interesting thing about the Knicks trade, and this is where I propose this to you, I'm not saying that the Knicks wouldn't be better with Giannis or anything like that, but this is a team that made a run last year, and you like the core, right? And now mm-hmm. they're healthy again. Remember, everybody got hurt last year. Now you have this core together. They're saying a trade with the Knicks would cost them Ananobi, Carl Anthony Towns, and maybe a couple other draft picks.
What's the point then?
It seems like a lot to give up because he's one of the premier players in the league, and there's nobody quite like him except for maybe Amen Thompson.
But he'd be by himself then.
You'd have Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, Mikael. I don't know what they'd ask for, but you're going to lose two of those guys in a trade for that. The team that I thought was really interesting that they brought up, the team that could make a move for Giannis and not even hurt themselves, is the Oklahoma City Thunder. They could literally trade them two good players now and six first-round picks.
Do you want to get rid of that core, though? Because that core has a championship. But you can't say they haven't won it. They've won championships together.
But it's not. But it wouldn't be that core. Like they were talking about, to make it work, you'd have to give up Isaiah Hartenstein, right? Is anybody really worried about that? Nice player, but fine. And then you'd have to give up another young player. So in the trade that I saw, it was Lu Dort, and who did I just bring up? Isaiah Hartenstein. And then it was like four or five first-round picks or something. Right. And that's a trade that worked on the, you know how they have that NBA trade algorithm thing that they put together to see if it works amongst the cap and everything. So that's one that worked. There were rumors that he wanted to go to L.A., but any trade to the Lakers would have to include Austin Reeves. And I'm not sitting here telling you Austin Reeves is better than Giannis, but you have to look at what you have, and he and Luka are kind of cooking right now. Like, if I was going to trade anyone from the Lakers, it'd be LeBron, but I don't know who wants him. You know what I mean? Like, I don't mean who wants LeBron. Who wants to give up something for a guy that's going to retire?
What's the
who wants LeBron? No, you're right. I mean, you got to be nice about it. Yeah. Who wants LeBron right now?
Who wants him now?
Yeah, I wouldn't want him for several reasons. I don't want him, number one, because of what you said, the age. I don't want him because he brings a lot of baggage with him in terms of what his demands are going to be. I don't know if I want to reach the demands of a 40-year-old playing basketball. I mean, you're not trading for LeBron's legacy, which is phenomenal. One of the best players that ever played the game.
Right.
But you're trading for who he is now. Yeah. I don't want that.
You're not running a museum. You're running a team. Like, you want to win. Seriously, he's not going to be around much longer.
Yeah, I don't want people to get it twisted in what I'm saying. It's like you have to. The NBA is a lot different. Adding a superstar to a team, like if I was talking about the trade that the Thunder kind of had together, mm-hmm. or at least this is the one that was thrown out there, they're giving up two players that, yes, they play for him, and yes, they're important, but Giannis would add so much because they're so deep already and they have so many first-round picks and players to sign. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you don't need those first-round picks, but when you have a team of this caliber, those picks either get packaged together to get a better pick, or they get packaged in a trade to get better on your team. That's why I think the Thunder thing makes so much sense. Although they don't need to do it because they're already loaded and they should be the front runner to win. Look, have you seen their record?
And they the just Thunder? Get, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
They
I don't know.
They just got Jalen Williams back.
That's what I don't know if I want to include anybody right now. They have, Jeremy, that team is different. They're special. And what makes them special is they play together. They play for. You don't see too many NBA teams playing for one another.
But again, they wouldn't be giving up anything in the core.
Yeah, but
you're making my point of what I said about the Knicks. Yeah. I'm not arguing.
If
you
put him in the middle of that, then what do you?
I'm saying, like for example, for me, like if the Knicks gave up, this shoots Karl-Anthony Towns and Ananobi. Ananobi might be the best on-ball wing defender in the league. And then he plays 40 minutes a game. Tom Thibodeau trained these guys to play 50 minutes in a 48-minute game. But getting those guys ready. So, like, if you get Giannis, now all of a sudden you need to fill two holes in that starting rotation, your power forward or small forward, right. Depending on how you look at it, and Karl-Anthony Towns.
Okay, and that's, I think, two different situations. Do you believe in chemistry?
100%.
That's what I mean by adding him. I don't know what you do to that chemistry out in OKC. You add a generational talent, and I'm not arguing that. Mm-hmm. But I am a firm believer in chemistry. And I don't know that OKC Thunder team, that chemistry is on 12. Like 1 out of 10 is on 12. I don't know what you do when you add a Giannis in there who's gonna have to feed.
I mean, they're 21-1. Do they need anybody? I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, again, broke. It's just a matter of can you get better? And you know teams do this where it's like, hey, we're really good, but I think if we added that, it would make us better. And Rob's 1,000% right, especially in basketball.
Yeah.
You can throw off. Remember when the Miami Heat first started with the big three?
Yep.
Remember how long it took them to kind of get it going, even though you had three of the best players in the league all on the same team?
Yeah.
Everybody's like, is this going to happen? And then they just rattled off, like, I don't know, 35 out of 40 or
took
something.
Took them a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sam Presti.
Sam Presti is just brilliant. Go look at the players he's picked and where they were projected to go. He's hit a home run every single time in the draft.
Yeah. Shovels at 9:15, but on the other side, is Anthony Rendon the worst current contract in sports? And if not, who? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.